dear friends. So today we have not many, but we study anyway and practice anyway. I think the practices have to be continued. And thank you for coming, Jerry. It's nice to have you.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And it's nice to see you. So today, because last time I was talking about mindfulness and supposed to be Gretchen's presentation, but she is not here last week and here, but I want to go ahead and talk anyway so that we can continue our studies, so we can move on to other subjects. After we finish the Eightfold Path, we will move on to something else to study. So it's right mindfulness is one of the number seven on the Eightfold Path. But according to the Heart of the Buddha teachings by Tenzin, he make it like he bring it to number three. So he said that it's important. So he, instead of originally in tradition, it's number seven. Right mindfulness and then right meditations is number eight. So you have to know, just know the order of it, you know. So some teacher that sees the importance of it and they bring it in front. So it's, you know, to emphasize the importance of the practice, because mindfulness practice now is everywhere. You know, you go into medical field, you just type in the word mindfulness, and they say it's mindfulness of stress, mindfulness of depressions, and all kind of mindfulness practice. This is now become as like well known as a medicines, spiritual medicines. This is a healing. And but in Buddhism, it's very important. It's a foundation of everything. It's like earth is a foundation for everything to grow on. So in order to get concentrations, you have to have mindfulness. So that's how important it is in the practice. In order to all the practice to grow, we have to know the practice of mindfulness. So that's why in Tenzin traditions, or Zen masters Tenzin, everything he does is mindfulness. So we have mindfulness living, and mindfulness walking meditations, and mindfulness sitting meditations. So all kind of mindfulness. So everything we use is mindfulness. So it's like a mother, it's like earth, it's like soil. So the word mindfulness in Chinese or in Sanskrit is called smriti. Chinese, they have two part. One character, they say about first on the part, and there's a gim. Gim that means now. And on the bottom is thumb. In Vietnamese, in Chinese. So my. So in order to say mindfulness, we say the mind have to be in present. So Chinese, they have two part, two characters. One character, they have two part. One part is yin, is upper part, and they call now. And the lower part, we call mind. So is mind in the present. So in order for us to be, for our minds to be present, we have to be here and now. So that's the importance. That's the importance. And the word in Sanskrit is called smriti. Smriti.
So what do we need to be mindful of or be and it's also from there some translation this we call remember. Remember to be in the present. So just a reminder. So we or sometimes we and the opposite of it is what? Forgetfulness. So if our mind is not in the present, then we forget ourselves or somewhere else. And sometimes we our body is here but our mind is somewhere else. That's most of the time. We are in the flow of thinking, you know, our mind is thinking of somewhere else. Even sometimes we are chanting or we are sitting, but we with the sutra, but our mind was somewhere else. So we know that. So that means we are living in forgetfulness. We forget that we are not, we are here, we are the present. And we don't remember, we forget to remember that we are here. So this my practice is very important in our society today. Our society today, because we are in a constantly run, and especially we live in a busy society. As you know, everybody is busy. We have no time for ourselves. We have to work so hard, just the purpose of work is for our living. But what is the purpose of living if we forget ourselves, right? So the purpose of living is to enjoy our presence. Sometimes we forget our purpose of life, and that's why we live in our society, because we get influenced. Everybody does the same things, you know. Sometimes I go back to my family, you know, and then if they not practice, you can see they running everywhere. Their mind is distracting in every activity that they does. And we not blame, you know. We just see that and observe ourselves and see how our life. So the quality of the character of our mindfulness is learn, just mental. So I'm going to. Because when we see something and we become judgmental, judging it, and that's when we create a suffering for ourselves. So the quality and learn bias. Because if we don't careful, then if we are not aware, not careful but aware, then everything we see is become categorized and labeling. And labeling, and then our mind become judgmental and biased. Mostly. So the if we are aware and we are mindful, and then we just see things as they are, you know, if there are something that's happened, we just see as they are. But because of habitual patterns, everything we see is automatically become like just mental. But the first sight, there's awareness, but because the awareness is not strong, so the judgments jump in right away, and our concepts into things, and then it's become label and become biased. So if we live in the energies of awareness and everything come, we accept and see the natures of things as they are and accept it. If someone and
not reacting,
because we are. We are victims to our reactions. Everything we see, if someone says something that not fit in our ears, then we become reacting right away through our language. We can feel it right away when somebody reacts. But if you are a practitioner of mindfulness, you slow yourself down and take a deep breath. And that is the end, and you know, that is the base for you to go back. Not reacting. Because if you are see things as they are, where you have to react, you know? But because we don't see the nature of things, so we become like a reactors.
And when Wiz reacts, and our mind become unclear, right? Because it's polluted already. So that's why we don't have a clear scenes. And we just observe, and observe without criticisms. So you see, you know, but you don't criticize. And if you don't practice with criticize way, it's challenging our mind right away. The thought that comes in, you become like an analysis, and become a criticizer. And we don't take, and once we don't react, then we don't take side, right? And most in our everyday life, if we don't very aware and very mindful, we easy to take sides. Even in the practice centers, if we don't aware of our internal thought, then we silently react in ourselves. And that slowly creates a habit, and every day it become accumulate, and that's why the habits become stronger. So the practice is to be come back, be mindful, and be aware of those thoughts. You don't have to fight those thoughts. You have to fight, just be aware of that. And once you're aware, and it's automatically subsides. So that's the practice. So for example, if you are, when we sit in meditations, and there's many thoughts arise when you sit. When you become quiet physically, and many million thoughts arise into your mind. And just be aware of those thoughts. Then you don't have to take side which this is the bad thought. Sometimes we fight even between two thoughts. You know, this is good thought and this is bad thought. And you just come see, and you got into that, and you become disturbed right away. So when you sit, and just be mindful of every thoughts, be aware of every thought that come. That's all you have to do. You are just observer. At the same time, you are a participant, but you're also an observer. So if you don't be careful and you drown yourself in the size of participant, but you don't see yourself as an observer. And also not clinging. So sometimes we cling to our thoughts. No clinging is equal to letting go. If you don't cling, then you have to let go. Even the wholesome thoughts, you have to let them go. No clinging is too wholesome thoughts. So you have to let go of your negative thoughts, but also you have to let go of the positive thoughts. Just be an observer. And be an open mind. You have to be open. So when your mind is open, this is the other character, taking side. When your mind is open, then you don't have to take sides, because you have to be biased, open mind. And once your mind is open, then things, you let them go easy, right? And the other is acceptance. Right? So once you accept, then you don't have to fight. We are suffer because we are not accept the reality. And we don't accept our pain. If you accept the pain and look with your bare tensions, with no fight with it, then you're okay. You know? But if you not refuse or deny your pain, then we become victims of that suffering, of that pain. So accepting with an open mind. And then also you have just aware of the change, aware of the change that, well, all this is like change constantly. Your thoughts is changing all the time. So you're just aware of that. You don't have to cling on what is changing, but just aware of the change. So aware of the change, here I go into my mindful of your body. So your body is changed all the time. But sometimes it's very subtle change. And we don't aware. Sometimes, you look at the mirror and become wrinkled, and then you're aware, because some change very subtle in your mind, some change very gross that you're able to see it, but you have to aware of this. So aware of the change in your body and in your mind. So that's why we are aware, one of the practice awareness of the body. So there is some in your body, there is some part that is like pain in your body, just aware of those. That's also the change. And if you are, there is some comfortable feeling, also be aware of those. And then you don't have to grasp on that feeling, just aware of that. This is called like
awareness. Really aware.
Just not pay attention. So you pay attention, but just you don't have to label that. So people might ask you if I don't, criticize, how do I know? You see, how do you know what is wrong, what is right? See, people might ask that question. But once you are aware, you know, but you don't put like you don't criticize, but you know. So you practice, you will know it. You know what is right, what is wrong. So you don't label, you don't impose your thoughts into that, but you know. The Buddha, he know everything, so you don't have to criticize anything. So when you are in the awareness, you know everything is happening. So the awareness is, or the mindfulness is to know what is happening around us. But you don't have to be a victim of like being a criticizer or an analyzer. Once you know the nature of everything. So as we go further, the Buddha teaching about aware or mindfulness of the three Dhamma seal. First Dhamma seal is mindfulness of impermanence. So your thought is also impermanence, right? It's calm and it's just, and then it's go. So it's go, it's rise, and stand there for, you know, maybe for few moments, and then it subsides. So that's impermanence. And our body is also impermanence. We can talk days about impermanence. You know? So our friends, the people around us, we see them, and next few days we them see them. Some they are passing away. Just one of our member is they on our trip to pilgrimage to India, and. She's still strong, laugh, but now she's passing away. So that's real impermanence. So when we see the mindfulness impermanence, then we become, we live wholeheartedly with the people that we are with. So we don't create sufferings for them. If you see the impermanence, and then you appreciate life. Without seeing impermanence, it's very hard to appreciate life, because you think that everything is there for you all the time, and you don't know that day one day it will be out of your hand. Maybe your loved one, maybe your children. You know? So when they are young, they will be with you, but by the time they are high school, they will be in college, and they change. And when we are aware of that impermanence, then we accept them and be around them as much as we spend time with them as much as we can. So one day we don't regret, you know. So that's mindfulness, help us to see that, to see that impermanence. And your mom, you know, be still alive, be with you. And, you know, one day, you know, who knows, things impermanence. So we have to live wholeheartedly with our loved one. So the mindfulness is able to see, help to see that, and our life become valuable. And we take life with wholehearted, we live life fully. Otherwise, if we don't see the impermanence of life, we just go with life, and life will pass by with any moment. So mindfulness have to seize the natures of all phenomena. And it also mindfulness help us clearly seize the nature of all Dharma, all things. And when we are able to see that, then we live life fully. We don't waste in any moment of our life. The next one is dukkha.
The second Dharma sutra is dukkha. Dukkha here means suffering, illness. So
somehow thinking is ill, because you don't think mindfully, then it's become ill. So like ill thinking, illness.
And there's some translation that say because we unsatisfied with the realities and become dukkha.
So suffering of our mentality, if we think, if our thinking is wrong thinking, then it becomes dukkha, becomes suffering, and it create a lot of affliction internally and externally, because we are lacking of the awareness of the natures of things. So for example, dukkha is grasping, hold on to anything, it's become a dukkha. We hold on to the things that we have, but we don't know the impermanence of everything. And then if we're not able to let go, and everything is, and then we become pain, pain in our mind, in our thoughts, and in our physical pain, and mentally pain. So mindfulness is allow us to see all this, or to see the pain in our mental, in our mind, in our body. And the third one is the Dharma seal is self. Selflessness. And all this is related. You see, impermanence is selflessness, right? Because nothing forever, nothing lasts forever. So impermanent and selflessness is very related. So if you're able to see the impermanent things, that means you're able to see the selflessness of the Dharma, of everything. So if we are aware, if we are in presence, then we're able to see this. For example, for this cup here, if you're able to see the selflessness in this cup, then you see the impermanence of this cup. The mindfulness allows us to see that. If our mind was somewhere else, wondering somewhere, it's real hard to see, because you see this is very solid cup, right? But it's not, because it's composed of many elements. If we see that nature, and then we don't have to, grasp onto that, hold onto it when it's broke, right? And for this house also, you can see this house is composed of many different woods, the ceilings, the lights, and all this. But we call it a house, but it look like permanent, right? But in the long in make maybe 20 years or 40 years or 50 years from now, this house will be decayed. So thus we see the nature of it through the mindfulness. We're able to see that when our mind is clear, we can see things is composed of other things. Even the energy by itself, when it's become solid, energy, things, is just energy. But this cup is energy also. And when it's become together, and it's become a cup, but when it's in this liquid, then it's a form of energy. So we see that, and we see this cup is cellless, right? Cellless. It does not have a cell. Even our body. Our body composed of many things. We see the water in this cup, it go into our body, and then it's like become blood, right? And we see that. and the air that we breathe in. And so our body is composed of many other elements, the water, the earth, the air, the fire, the winds, and everything. But we always think of ourselves as permanent. And we never think of ourselves as selflessness. And if someone was hurting us, you know, and we are patient, we try to revenge, right? And we just hold on to this body. And then that's causes suffering all the time. It's just one thing happened to our body. But doesn't mean that we have to, you know, when we see the impermanent, but doesn't mean that we have to destroy this body. Because the Buddha said this body is just like a raft. We have to use this body to go to another shore, right? So mindfulness is allowed to see that, doesn't mean we have to, then we don't have to use this body. See? That's the right thinking, you know. This body is impermanent, but we have to work in the right way, right? And to care ourselves, you know, and into the, make ourselves become a more meaningful, and to help ourselves to liberate our pains, and help other people. So mindfulness helps us to see all this, right? So mindfulness, when we see mindfulness, we are very active. We do every work, but we don't have to hold on to it. We do because the purpose of our life is to live happily, right? And to help each other. So mindfulness helps us become very active in our practice, active in our serving the world, active in our family life. And when we have the we draw in the energies of awareness, then we become very inclusive. We include everybody, you know, we become very loving persons. We don't have to be isolate ourselves. Everything we do is like a sharing. We share. So inclusive here, we become like selflessness, you know, we include everybody into our practice. So how is your practice of awareness? How do you apply that, you know? Because the mindfulness practice is very practical, but we have to ask ourselves, because each of us have different way of applying mindfulness. Not everybody is the same, right? Nobody is the same. We cannot imitate. because mindfulness is very creative in our way of life. Once we have when we embody the teaching of mindfulness, our life becomes very creative and very active. Just like a garden full of different flowers. Because when you are awake, and once you are aware, then everything you do is become beautiful. And that's what we should make our life. That's what the life of the Buddha is. Is the life of the Buddha is the life of awareness. Because everything he does, he carries, embodies the energies of awareness, the energies of mindfulness in his way of talking, his way of sharing, his embody all that. And radiate that energies, and it's still there. Even the physical is disappear, but the energy is still there. So if we are the practitioner, we are the continuations of the Buddha, because we are continuations the light of awareness. you don't have to be a Buddhist, but you can be any. Because mindfulness is no form. It's formless. It's formless. Any person can... because all of us embody this kind of energy, but whether we're able to make it alive or not. You know? So the practice, when we practice, we make the energies of that. So when you drink a cup of tea, you make the energies, awareness, alive. So because everybody have the ability to drink a cup of tea, right? But some of us drink a cup of tea in forgetfulness, or our thought is somewhere else. We're not able to feel the sensations of a cup of tea. And then and we don't enjoy it. We just drink a cup of tea just to fulfill the thirst in us. So that's why we don't enjoy life. But because everything is there for us to enjoy. But once we have the energies of awareness, then everything we do is it become enjoyable. As if something is not boring. But if we don't have that, everything we do, it can be a boring, or it can be just a task, you know, just care of a task. You can be enjoy with your taking care of your grandchildren, but if you don't have the energy of awareness and you become a task to taking care, but if you able to seize the energy in them, the radiation in them, then it's become something that you really, it's become something that is nourishing you and your children and your grandchildren. So one thing you do is become a nourishing, but it can be not a nourishing. So if the energy is there, the mindfulness is there, the light is there, because it's the light is there, it allows you to see that, allows you to see. So when you see that, and then you enjoy doing it, and then nothing is a waste. And nothing, and then it's things, the thing you do become alive, but otherwise become death. The same thing. So the same thing is our practice, you know. If you don't have, if our awareness is not present, slowly you lose your interest in practice, easily. Because there is many attractions outside, external world. It's very easy. You can see that around you. So it's the matter is to bring your attention, awareness alive. By paying attention to the presence, the awareness, then we begin to perceive what you have, really. Because otherwise we don't perceive. Sometimes we perceive this cup. It just is a mean for us to have a tea, but we're able to appreciate that. But if not, if our attention is not there, then we don't appreciate what we have. And once our mindfulness is there, and our wounds get healed. But if our awareness is absent, then our wounds become getting worse. And we don't know how to heal our wounds. And once we are the mindfulness energy help us to heal, then we easy to grow in our practice dimensions. So healing and growing is another aspect of mindfulness. So I think the matter is to put that mindfulness into our everyday life. That is the crucial. You can learn mindfulness day and days, but if without putting into that applications, then healing will not take place. How can healing take place if we don't? So that's why we come together to learn about mindfulness and put it into the practice. One move, for example, if you close the door with mindfulness, then that's the act, that kind of act can become a healing. So you remove the fear in you. But if you are the act of closing the door, for example, with forgetfulness, and then there is some kind of fear in you, and some kind of forgetfulness in you, how can, if that, then the healing cannot take place. So in order for healing to take place, mindfulness is there, is the essence to help you to heal, because you feel calm in yourself, calm in your body. You don't feel the fear, the fear is absence, fear is absence. Because fear is part of our thing, it's innate somehow in us, in ourselves. All the time, you know, very subtle move, we can become very fear, you know. Or sometimes you sit silent and there's some noise, and then suddenly the fears arise in you, arose in you, right? And the more fear we have, the harder for healing to take place. Really hard for healing to take place. Because you don't feel at rest and at ease in your mind and your heart. So mindfulness helps us to do that, to see all that components, all that elements in us. So mindfulness is like light when the light comes. Yeah, that's just like light. When the light is coming, and then the dark slowly remove or disappear. And you're able to see and walk, right? Without light, then is how can you walk in life? See? So once the energies of mindfulness there, it shows you the way in life. It shows you how to live your life.
I can practice mindfulness by giving my body some rest. So I will listen from up there. But I'm really, really tired. So
okay.
I will see you when you come up.
Okay. Thank you for listening to your body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so so that's why nowadays mindfulness become medicines for our Western society, not Western but for the whole society, because we are so much worn in our hearts internally. We produce a lot of materials for means to serve life, right? That's what it is, to serve life. But on the other hand, the opposite side, we can see the darkness of this.
So, are the three Dharma seals kind of meant to be used in everyday practice? So, for an example, you know, sometimes someone else does something and it, you know, annoys us somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, can you use the three Dharma seals, or is the idea to use the three Dharma seals and say, well, okay, this person did something else, but one, it's like 2 seconds, it's really impermanent, and I'm, you know, I'm not around them all the time, so it doesn't matter. And two, you know, it's really not causing me that much suffering. I, like, think it is, because that's what I condition myself to, but it's not, so it's really short. It's not really causing me any pain. And I guess the selflessness would be, well, they're not really a separate person than me. They're, you know, a part of me, or, you know, we're a part of the world, and it's not a, you know, it's not to say, you know, they're awful and I'm great. And does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So if you see that, and then, you know, and then you calm yourself down and able to see that, once you see that, then you don't react right away. you know, and you know what to do, you know. You are not a passive person, for example, if someone's to harm you, right? But you say, if you say that, oh, you know, it's impermanent, then you don't run away. Then it's not right, see? You see, know what to act and how to do in right in the present moment. So if you stay there and that person will harm you, then it will do you damage and the others will damage, right? But the mindfulness come and see, oh, you know, this person is kind of, you see it, but you don't have to kill him or anything, but you see that and then you run away. You run away here, you know, you avoid for you and for him, for both, the safety of for both, right? That is the mindfulness mm-hmm. coming to see, to show you the direction. You know, how to, what to do, so you don't cause further harm and damage. So for example, if you have a thought of harmful thought, but the mindfulness comes, I say, and then you're able to stop right away, and you stop the harm, the damage for you and for the other, instead of saying something that can be very injury or very hurtful. So right away you're able to put the unwholesome thought at rest. Is that an example? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that means the light is coming. Allow you to see that. So you're able to see that now, in that moment, right away. And then you stop. You don't go cause further harm and damage.
I have a question.
Sure.
You had talked about thought also being impermanent,
mm-hmm.
and I see that. But I'm just wondering, where does commitment come in? You know, if let's say the thought is impermanent, well, 1 minute, 1 second is this way, the other second is this way, which I totally recognize. But then on the other hand, there's something called commitment, which, you know, I think involves the thought
mm-hmm.
about it being somehow constant. You know what I'm saying?
It's like condition. So you provide the right conditions for the thought to arise, right? Because when our thoughts are right, there is a condition there. Conditions. So for example, if someone to close the door unmindfully, right? So that's provide a condition for the thought to say, oh, this person is so disturbing, right? So that's provide the condition for the thought to arise. How your thoughts arise? Because the door was slamming and making uncomfortable noise. For example, it's a telephone. But if you are mindful, and you just stop for a moment and breathe, and the telephone, a different sound, you say, is become an awakened sound for you. So how you change your thought, and the conduct to listen around that thought provide you to give rise to certain thoughts. So you understand what I'm trying to say? So what do you mean, like commitment, you know?
I don't think that answers your question.
So you mean that the commitment is to the thought that's always there, or?
Yeah, to carry a project. Like, you're very committed to your work.
I don't.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's an aspiration, you know.
Yeah.
Aspiration. You have a wish to do something, right? And also, yeah, commitment is okay. Yeah, and then you commit to do it. But how can the thought to be commit?
Right. So those are, I guess, two different things.
Yeah.
Oh.
See?
Okay. All right. Thank
because
you.
The thought is impermanent. So how can you put commitment into that?
Aspiration is not impermanent then?
Aspiration also impermanent. You know, sometimes you have really strong aspiration. But sometimes you don't have a strong aspiration. So it's impermanent too. But because you cultivate. So the matter is how you cultivate your aspiration. So the more you cultivate, you think, you know, you give awareness of it every day or every moment, then it becomes stronger, right? And then it's manifest in any moment.
Manifest.
In every moment. You know. So it's a matter to cultivate your thoughts. You have a good thought, you cultivate it, and it's constantly, and then become stronger.
I can apply that in the commitment of marriage.
Yeah.
The more aware and mindful I can be nurturing my commitment to the relationship. And appreciating it. That's all then affects the relationship.
Yeah.
Affects the
relationship. So relationship, so you have to cultivate it.
Cultivate it.
So it's become stronger and then become like healthy. So sometimes it's very, the relationships can be very ill. Mm-hmm. But some relationships are very healthy. For example, if you come together to work together and try to live together in a healthy way and making a healthy commitment. And sometimes it can be an unhealthy commitment too. For example, people that commit to a serial killer, for example, and then it's not a healthy commitment, right? So the light of mindfulness come in to help us to see that whether our commitment is healthy or our relationship is healthy or not. So if our commitment or our relationship is healthy, then you'll be happy. But if our commitment is ill, then we also become ill, and we become painful, suffering. So the awareness and the mindfulness energy help us to do that. So we have to cultivate it every day in the practice to make it really into a life, really make it a life. An energy can be a dead energy, an energy can be an alive energy. So when we practice meditations, we make the energy of mindfulness become more alive, more effective, and because we cultivate it. Okay? Okay, so I just share it with you that today. So, so we will stop here for our meditations. You have any other questions?
I would be interested in what you do to maintain the practice. I mean, I have good intentions.
Sure.
But I don't.
Yeah, to maintain, that's why to maintain our practice is we have to make it as our food, for example.
Make it?
Yeah, our food, you know.
Food.
Yeah, just like we eat every day. So mindfulness is like food, you know, but spiritual food. So if you make that as your daily food, then you're able to make it alive and maintain the practice. And you see the essence of it in your life, how important that in your life. And then you put it into applications. And the more you put into applications, the more it becomes stronger. And every day, if you don't eat it, and you feel you're missing something. For example, if we don't eat food, we feel hungry, and you some part of your stomach is empty. The same thing here is the practice. So, for example, if you, by way of application, is you close the door, for example. So every day you very mindful, cultivate that. Just remind yourself, I have to close the door very gentle, you know, so that I don't make a lot of noise. That could be helpful for me to my practice. And you remind yourself that, just for one act, every day, right? Just close the door, or put the way that you put your slipper, you know, instead of you put your slipper in one in the north and one in the south, now you put your slipper, you know, in the right way.
and you think like, oh, if I put my slipper, you know, mindfully, and then I come out and then my slipper is there, or my shoe is there, and then it's become your practice. And that is the applications. And then you don't create a lot of distraction for yourself, or for example, or this a lot of uncomfortable for yourself. So when if you are mindful of the way you put your shoe, and then you feel comfortable, right? When you go out the door and the shoe is there, and you make that other people also around you comfortable too. So that's the practice. How mindful we watch our dishes, for example. This is a mindful practice. The way that you use your water, for example, conserve the water. So we have to put this kind of practice in our every life, and then every day, that is the way you cultivate it, you make it stronger. And it's more.
That's good, because I think of it as setting aside time for mindfulness.
Yeah. So you don't say that you have to set aside, because everything you do, and it become a practice, and then you don't forget. And the more you practice, you feel much more like awake, more life in your life, and everything you do and then now become beautiful, and everybody enjoy the things you do, because someone even though you put your shoe and people enjoy to see it, yeah. And because some family you come and you know the shoe put in very order, you know, when they come and they put everything in order, and then when people come and they feel comfortable, they feel some kind of comfortable around. So the more we practice mindfulness, the more we feel comfortable, and the people around us also feel comfortable. So then we lose the dukkha here in our life. We make less dukkha, less suffering for ourselves. And that's how the Buddha. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I trip myself on purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say I was going to meet someone tomorrow for work or whatever. I want to be on my best, have the best energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I meditate the night before or the hour before. And that means I increase my practice, you know. Even though I should be always on my best, sometimes I'm too hurried, there's not enough time. But if I can be aware that I want to be have my best energy, I practice for not very spiritual reason, you know. I just want to be present the best of me. So
yeah,
I trick myself. Say, okay, and then I from that trick I realized, oh, I was practicing, you know, and that it just builds a little bit more. Just, okay, I can do that again.
So at the beginning we practice mindfulness slowly, slow yourself down. At the beginning it's good, because when you slow yourself down, then it's you able to see the act that you do.
Yeah, that slows things down.
Yeah.
That.
Even our way of talking, sometimes we are nervous and we talk quite fast. I wear that in myself. You know, at the beginning, kind of, you can seize the energy. But when we are slow ourselves down, and we are calm, and then these things easy. So at the beginning, you do things slowly. Like for example, that way we have to walk meditation. We walk slow. But sometimes, and then once you are master of the energy, and then you can walk a little bit faster. But you're able to aware what's going on. But at the beginning, if you do it fast, then it's really hard to aware. For example, you shut the door right away, very fast. It's really hard to aware of that energy. But if you're able to slow down and you're able to slowly clutch the nut, then it's easy. So at the beginning, easy, slow, really help us to practice the mindfulness.
Okay, so I would like to end here. Okay, so I invite the bell so that we can stop here.